Message. Heavenly Father, we pray that hearts have come this morning to learn from you. We pray for those who are here this morning and may not know you, that they would know you before the end of the day. For those of us who do, Lord, we pray that our hearts be challenged. We pray that we look deep within us, Lord, and just see where you're at work and the work that you want to do in and through us. And Father, we just pray for the leading of your Spirit to us this morning, and that you would be honoured, that you would be glorified in all things. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here and being able to bring praise and worship to you this morning. But now, Lord, as we settle our hearts and minds, may, Lord, you truly work deep within us, Lord, to the conforming of our lives to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. These things we pray in his precious name. Amen. 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 If you'd like to turn to that passage of Scripture there in Luke chapter 22, we'll be mainly looking at two verses there, but we're looking at people in the Bible, and if there's one person you could preach quite a while on, it would be our brother Peter, amen? There's a lot going on in his life, but we're looking at the change that came upon Peter, the moment he changed, and we're going to look at a few things today, and hopefully the Lord really blesses us. But, you know, many people don't like change, whether it's work or whether it's moving in relationships. Many just like things to stay the way they are. They don't enjoy moving from one phase to another, even to the point people just, they don't even like to change their diet. They just want to be the way they are. And yet God calls all through his Bible that people must make adjustments in their lives to go with him. And Abraham was a prime example. When the Lord said, go, Abraham got up and went, not knowing whether he was going, but he knew the Lord was leading him. And there are times in a person's life where change is absolutely necessary. And it could be for the benefits of one health and well-being, but what I'm talking about is physical and spiritual, but especially this morning, our spiritual lives. Because many believers settle down into a routine in their Christian walk, in their Christian life, and there's no change. They just sit down, they've come to this point, and there's no movement. In other words, what I'm talking about is there's no growth. And when there's no growth, there's no depth of life, there's no depth of experiencing the life God desires that we have with him. See, he wants us to live a life of faith and surrender. You see, faith will never grow while one is not truly surrendered to God. One's life of faith really does depend upon one's level of surrender to God in all things. They are totally different things. You see, there are many good Christians and they live faithfully, but they do not live surrendered. You see, you cannot be surrendered totally without faith in God, but it is easy to live a life of faith without being surrendered to him. You see, a believer can tithe properly, and they should. They can attend church services, and they should. They should read their Bibles, and they should. They could trust in God to supply all their needs, to walk by faith and not by sight, and yet never truly be surrendered to him. See, to surrender means it's where you give up or you yield yourself into the hands of another, and you do it voluntarily, and it's without any ifs or any buts. See, it is where we now say, there is no claim on myself. It's finished. That claim has been handed over to someone else, and that someone else is God. See, for the believer, surrender is to place themselves into the hands of Almighty God and to be used by him for his purposes, for his glory, with not one thought for ourselves. Not one. And while it is possible for a believer to live and walk by faith, that does not mean they are fully surrendered to their Lord in every area of their life. Luke 22:61 and 62, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Here is the moment for Peter. Here's the moment where everything changed. In John 13:36, the Lord had said to Peter, Peter had said to the Lord, whither thou goest? And Jesus answered him and said to Peter, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And what does Peter say? Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, and look at the way Jesus words that. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Wilt thou? Verily, verily, in other words, this is very important. I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. You see, Peter couldn't follow Jesus the way he should, surrendered, because he had not come to the end of himself. See, that's where surrender begins. One must come to the end of themselves, the end of the self-life. See, when we come to the end of ourselves, when we desire nothing more than to be used by the Lord anywhere or any time, that's when the change begins. And when Peter realized what he had done and how what Christ had said about his actions were true, then he went out and then he wept bitterly. And it's right at that moment for Peter that a great change took over him and surrender was taking place in his heart. You see, Jesus had said earlier to Peter in verse 32 of Luke 22, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But after the cock crowed, you know, Jesus looked at Peter, and it's at this point Peter saw the real revelation of who he was. He was converted from self to Christ. And it's interesting because that word converted is the word for revolution. In other words, he just didn't turn around and go the other way. It was a complete turn in his life from who he was to what Christ wanted him to be. And I'm sure many believers are thankful for Peter's life and his testimony. If anybody had foot and mouth disease, it was our brother Peter, I can tell you. But before Christ could fill Peter completely with his spirit, Peter had to acknowledge his weakness and his wrongdoing. In other words, Peter had to be humbled. Now, first point, Peter, as a devoted disciple, you know, when Jesus called Peter to follow him, Peter followed at once in Luke 5:10-11. Luke 5:11 says, when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Peter could say, yes, I gave it all up and followed the Lord. He was obedient. Luke 5:4, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So here's a man who's given it all up for the Lord. He's obedient to what the Lord's asking him. You know, he knew how to catch fish. He was a fisherman. He tried all night, but nothing happened. But at the word of Christ, he let down the net. He submitted to the words of the Lord. We will never be surrendered the way God wants us until we're submitted to the Lord, words of the Lord. Peter was a man of faith. Remember, after the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus sent the disciples across the sea, and in the middle of the sea, a storm arose and was tossing the ship all over the place. They see Jesus walking towards them, and they think it's a spirit on the water. They were fearful, and Jesus cried out in Matthew 14:27, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And here we have Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. See, Peter was a man of faith. Peter also had spiritual insight. When Jesus asked the disciples who they thought he was, Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So here we have a man who gave it all up to follow the Lord, a man of faith, a man of obedience, a man with spiritual insight. In fact, the Lord's testimony of Peter was that he was like a rock. He had the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Peter surrendered, obedient, faithful, spiritual insight, a devoted disciple of the Lord, yet he lacked so much within himself. Secondly, his self-life. See, Peter's a man, he trusted in the arm of the flesh. You see, he pleased himself. Peter was one who was looking for the pat on the back. He was no different to any of us before we died to ourselves. After Jesus told the disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ and that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things, we see Peter in Matthew 16, 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. See, man, Peter is still full of his self-life, even though he's devoted and obedient. He's still full of himself. That word rebuke means to take charge over. So he's taken charge over the Lord. He said, Lord, this is what I'm telling you. You're not going to go to the cross. You're not going to die. This is not going to happen to you. Listen, Jesus, this is what I'm telling you. And the Lord replied, he said, get thee behind Satan. Thou art an offence to me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What caused Peter to trust in his own wisdom? What caused him to show his self-will and command the Lord not to die? It's simple. He trusted in himself. He trusted in his own thoughts about divine things. How often people do that? Lord Chesterfield, in his book to his son, wrote, never seen more learned than the people you are with. Isn't that great wisdom? Wear your learning like a pocket watch. Keep it hidden. Do not pull it out to count the hours, but give the time when you're asked. You know, so many people have got so much to say. I remember one man, no matter what you said about the Bible, he had something else to say about it. And the thing he could do, I just said, write the book according to your name then. Then you'll be satisfied. But Matthew, Mark and Luke all record the disciples asking who should be the greatest in the kingdom. And Peter's one of them. He wanted a right to first place. And what was he doing? He was seeking his honour above those around him. That's the self-life. And it was strong in Peter, and it's strong in all of us. And when Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind Satan, he then said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Not one believer can follow the Lord Jesus Christ until they are prepared to do that. Not one. Until self is completely denied. Well, what does that mean? How? Well, Jesus warned Peter. He said to him, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny me that thou knowest me. You see, when Christ was arrested, when he was taken away, Peter, we know, he followed him at a very bit of a distance. And when they got outside the high priest's house, Peter's sitting by a fire and a maid accuses Peter of being with Christ. And a little bit later, a man accuses Peter of the same. But it says, in the space of an hour, another confidently affirmed, "Of a truth, this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." So all within 1 hour, we see that Peter has denied the Lord. What a terrible position to be in. And what does Peter say? "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Three times Peter denies knowing the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it means he's not my friend. I never knew him. There's no way me and him have any connection at all. Who are you talking about? Jesus had told Peter that he had to deny himself. In other words, self had to be taken away, taken no notice of. Every claim of self had to be done away with. That's what it means to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. And it's right here that we see the true root of Christian discipleship. And Peter didn't get it. And because he didn't get it, that meant he could not obey it. The Lord's call upon us, we just sang, this is the old story. His call to deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him is the same as it was for Peter, is in our life. We are to forsake all. What does that mean? I have to throw everything up in the air, get rid of it all and live in a cave in a hill somewhere? No. But it means what we do, we understand that there's a world out there and that world is ruled by the god of this world, Satan, and he is at work against the kingdom of God, and our duty is to stand firm against that. We're to go to the gates of hell and we're to stand firm against that, and we're to surrender ourselves to the Lord. We are to deny the works of worldliness in our life. And if you think you're not worldly, well, let me tell you something. Have you gossiped this week? Have you wanted to find out someone else's business this week? Have you lied to anyone lately? That's worldliness. And we are to be surrendered and deny ourselves and stand firm against the works of the world. Listen, we all have a fallen nature within us, which means that's a worldly nature. And we are to deny that to follow the Lord. Jesus warned Peter. Peter says, "No, no, no, I won't deny you." Remember, Peter said before, Luke 22:33, "I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." Full of self-confidence. I have no doubt he meant that. I have no doubt that he had intentions to do what he said. But one thing still in the way when it came to the crunch. That was himself. See, Peter had yet to know himself. And until we know ourselves truly, we will never be able to surrender completely to our God. How well do we know ourselves? Does the self life rule? What has our flesh done in the power of sin? And it's right at that point where we all need to be delivered. And not understanding this, Peter did what all do in that state. We deny the Lord. See, the Lord told Peter, he said to deny himself. Then he said that Peter would deny him. And here's the battle. See, it's one or the other. A believer cannot sit on the fence and go with God at the same time. We must deny self, or the truth is we are denying Christ. We must make the choice. It's the end of the story. Deny self or deny the Lord. That's the battle within. The self-life lived in the strength and the power of sin, or the Christ life lived with the strength and power of God. See, they cannot rule together. One must reign. One must dominate. One must give in to the other. One cannot live surrendered wholly to God with even the smallest amount of self in control. Thirdly, Peter's change. Three times he denies the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Then came the look. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Listen, I don't know what the look was. I don't know what it was about. I don't know what sort of look it was. But it's obvious, whatever, it broke Peter's heart. Because what it did was expose the horrible sin that Peter had committed. The failure, the depth to where Peter had fallen. And it was a look such that Peter went out and wept bitterly. When was the last time we allowed the Lord to look on our heart? When was the last time we honestly stood before the Word, or we got on our knees in prayer and we said, "Lord, I'm opening up, look." And when he's looked, that actually broke our hearts. We saw the sin within. We saw the self-life still ruling and controlling. That word bitterly is a word for violently, and it has the idea of when someone pegs a tent and they drive the stake in. You imagine, here's his heart as being pierced with a peg. That's how bad it was. Can you imagine what must have been going on in Peter's heart and his mind that night? Right through into the early hours of the next day, and he saw his Lord crucified and buried. And then not long after, there's the Sabbath. He's gone. All my hope. All my denial. 3 years I walked with him. 3 years I sat at his feet. 3 years I listened to his words. The way he loved me, the way he cared for me. What have I done? I've denied my Lord. God have mercy on me. Brother, that's repentance. We can't even begin to imagine how he felt. But we must have some idea, as we too have bared our hearts to the Lord. Surely. All seem lost for this man. And we need to go to the book of Mark to see something very special after the Lord has risen. In Mark 16, chapter 16, verse 1, we are told, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. But he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he's not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Here come these women, ready to anoint the body of Jesus, and they come to the tomb and they go, "Hang on a minute, who's going to open it for us?" Now, I've been in a garden in Israel, they said was the Garden of Gethsemane. We don't know where the real one was. But the tombs have a very high, probably 2 meters or high, round stone, like a giant wheel. It's probably about that thick. And it rolls along a little gully and just drops in front of the hole. People, you just can't push it out of the way. And these women come to this, but it's open. The Lord's gone. He's risen. And he says to these women, he says, but go your way, tell his disciples and who? And Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him as he said unto you. Peter's, he's been singled out from the rest of them. You see, the Lord wanted to reassure Peter. He wanted Peter to know, Peter, all's not lost. Yes, I was denied. Yes, you didn't want to know me. Yes, you've had rebuked me in the past. But all's not lost. The hope that you have, the trust that you had, the fellowship that you had with me, Peter, it's going to continue. Not for a day, not for a year, not for 50 years, but for eternity. I am risen. The moment of denial, the moment of shame and despair has been replaced by the Lord with an unending love filling his heart. Tell Peter especially that I am risen from the dead. Fourthly, we see Peter set free from himself. You know, in John's gospel, Jesus had three times he'd revealed himself to the disciples after his resurrection, and Peter again is singled out by the Lord. In John 21:14, it says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith, that's Jesus, unto him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. What's so important about that? See, in verse 15, when Jesus said, thou lovest me, that's agape love. Do you love me unconditionally? No matter what, do you love me? And Peter replies, I lovest thou, Lord. Philea, brotherly, says, I love you like a brother. The Lord adds a second time. He says, do you agape love me, Peter? Do you? You love me unconditionally. Peter gives the same answer. Lord, I love you as a brother. And the Lord comes right down to Peter's level. And the third time the Lord says, well, do you love me as a brother? And Peter says, you know all things. You know I love you as a brother. What's happening? The Lord is trying to draw out of Peter what Peter needed to know about himself. He's saying, Peter, you've got to love me surrendered. No conditions. No ifs. No buts. Not brotherly love. Agape love. You must love me completely. Not as a brother, it must be deeper. If you want to deny yourself, if you want to follow me, surrender is love that happens with no conditions. It's an all-consuming love. No matter the cost to your life, you must love me. And this is where many believers stop. If it's going to cost them, they're not going to go forward. The Lord speaks to their heart. The Lord says, look, you've got plenty. Start using it for my glory. And they shut the bank book. They wouldn't know what a tithe was. Oh, we don't have to tithe that to the law. No, it's not. I should bring a message on what real tithing is. Abraham tithed. He had nothing to do with the law. What about our time? Do we sacrifice our time? Would we be late if there was $50 waiting for us at the door? Are we prepared to say, Lord, whatever I am, whatever you want to do with me, whatever I have is yours? Are you prepared to do that? Until you do, you have not denied yourself, you have not followed him, and you have not surrendered truly to the Lord. Lord says, love me unconditionally the way I love you. It was on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came, Peter, the change has taken place. He was never the same again. The brotherly love he had for the Lord was replaced with divine love. And Peter, when called before, remember the council in the book of Acts, he was commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus. And he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And he said to them, the God our fathers raised up, Jesus, whom you slew and hung on a tree. He didn't hold back. There was no thinking about himself anymore. He was now surrendered. And we see in 1 Peter 1:6 the change in him. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if be need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, he's in love now, whom though you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, who by him, verse 21, do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. See, no longer in self. He doesn't trust himself anymore. No matter what he's going to face, no matter what he's going to go through for the Lord, to surrender and follow and deny himself, he says it doesn't matter anymore. He says your faith and hope is in God, not yourself. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Different Peter now. Look at chapter 4, 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. No saying no now. No denying who the Lord was now. That when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of the glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken on, but on your part he is glorified. No saying, no, Lord, I don't know who this man is. No more. He is surrendered. You look here, you look intently at this passage. No divine denying Christ, no pleasing self now. You say, why? Because Peter's found a new joy. It's a new pleasure. You know what that pleasure is? I'm going to deny myself even if it costs me my life now. You see, the self-seeking, the self-pleasing, the self-trusting, the self-helping, Peter's completely changed. He's surrendered. He's wholly filled with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he's been changed, and he says, no longer do I want self to reign. It's Christ and Christ alone. Is it possible to be truly devoted, godly, in whom the power of flesh is still very strong? Yes, it is, if you're surrendered. You know, when there's so much self-life still at work, the power of God cannot work in us as much as God would like it to be. You see, it is the Lord's work to show us the power of self at work in us. That's his job. And if we are truly, truly want to open ourselves up, we truly want to allow him to look on our heart and earnestly say, Lord, I understand. I no longer want to be a part of this. I just want Christ in me, the hope of glory, and whatever you say I'll do. Then, and only then, are you surrendered. How did Peter, strong-willed, self-confident, impulsive, proud, how did he write those two epistles? It was because he was Christ's disciple and Christ cared for him and taught him and blessed him. And the same Christ who looked at him when betrayed by Peter in his suffering, he did not forget the frailty of Peter's flesh. And he said, you make sure you tell him. Peter, I'm going to get you to understand. I'm going to draw out of you what love really is. And this same Christ is willing and wanting to take charge of every heart here today that is willing to say, no longer me, I surrender. Is that the place you're at today? Are you saying to yourself, this is the problem with my life? This is why I work so hard. This is why I'm wearing out. This is why everything seems to be, every second day is Monday. The Bible readings are good. This should be speaking to us, not us speaking to it. There is a deeper level God wants us to be at. And to get to that level, we must surrender. You see, the self-life will always want its own comfort. The self-life is, how can I be free in myself? It comes with self-will to do what one wants to do. But only Christ can set us free. Only he can deliver you and me from the power of self. And he asks that we just humble ourselves before him and just hand over the rights of our life to him. That's exactly how it works. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you for just how simple it is, how real it is. And Lord, we see Christian bookshops today with 45 steps to do this, 27 steps to do that, and nothing ever happens. And you say, Lord, just you tell us, you just take one step. Just place yourself in my hands. With no claim to yourself, and you'll be surrendered. Lord, we just thank you for that truth. We thank you, Lord, if the Holy Spirit has touched our heart today in any area, not to do something about it is to live in the self life. Lord, we praise you for the privilege we have of knowing that we have hope eternal, that we have a life and a world to come. And we pray, Lord, that we are not living for the world we're in now, but we are living for the world to come. And that means we give ourselves to you fully, completely, and freely, no matter what we may see as the cost, because what could cost more than the shed blood of God to pay our sins? There is no price, brothers and sisters. Help us not to put a price on it. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.